Hallelujah. I want to get into our second message entitled Responding to Jesus. I want us to respond to the Lord this season. This is our Christmas series. This is part two. And I picked an odd passage to begin with because I was really quickened with something. It's a verse out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you can look that up later, but I want to just read through this and then make a few comments because, would you just repeat this with me? God sends His glory on common folk. And that's one of the beautiful, beautiful mega understandings and ideas of the Christmas narrative in the Word of God. This is Paul talking in 1 Corinthians 1. It's 18 through 30, and we're talking about the cross here to begin with. It says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." Now, he says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God that through the folly of what we preach, to save those who believe. Now he's contrasting something here. For the Jews demand signs and the Greeks wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now listen to this. Verse 25. I'm going to say it and I want to ask you to repeat it. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Let's say that again. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men. When God's fooling around, it's smarter than you are. He is so deep. He is so profound. He can do anything. And if it's foolish, it's smarter than what you could ever come up with. Even His frivolity is deeper than your greatest thinking. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Say that. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now here we go. For consider your calling, brothers. Now don't look around the room when I read this, okay? Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. If I say it again, the glory of God comes upon common people. And in our CUNLR, looking at the Christmas story, the Christmas narrative, we find Luke. Luke, as we're in the book of Luke, Luke actually opens up his comments beginning in chapter 1. And he says the same thing. He kind of ties the book of Luke and the book of Acts together with writing to somebody as a researcher, as someone who's, let's say he works for the Jerusalem Post or the Bethlehem Gazette or whatever. But Luke says, starting with verse 1 in Luke chapter 1, he says, "Insomuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you." And he says his name, but he puts the words, "Most excellent Theophilus." The word Theophilus means beloved of God, or it means friend of God. So to you, most excellent Theophilus, there's kind of some conjecture about who this person is. He could have been in the Roman government because they were used the terms most excellent. When Paul addressed Felix, he said most excellent Felix. He could have been a Roman person. He could have been a high priest. We're not sure who he is, if it's a name or a title. But I think the Holy Spirit did that because you could say all of us in here are Theophilus. I want to give an account so that you, O beloved of God, can know the things that happened among us. There were eyewitnesses from the beginning of that time, and I've gone and sat with them. And I'll go ahead and say, if Paul had gone back to Jerusalem and sat down with the brother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus, James, I'm sure his mother was around. And since Luke was with Paul, it would be obvious that Luke may have done a lot of his research sitting down with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Because she's an eyewitness account from the beginning. Who else could you find from the beginning unless you got some of those shepherds or Googled the wise men and hunted their sons up and talked to them? Right? So we have an incredible account. It says, excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. This is all to punctuate and to say, okay, look, now I'm going to jump over all of the, first of all, you got chapter 1. The moment he starts, says, in Herod's time, it says there was a man named Zacharias. And we go to the whole story of Zacharias and how the angel comes to him. And then we have the developing story, how Gabriel comes to Mary. And so, and she conceives. So we have all that set up, and then their songs that are in chapter 1. And then, so I want to look at chapter 2. Okay, so jump in here with me. Starting with, this is kind of our setup, and I have some ways that we can respond to the Lord today, and then we'll move right into a time of communion. So starting with verse 1 in chapter 2 of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who it was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told of them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things up in her heart. They're pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it was told them. I want to talk about our first response this Christmas, a way to respond to the Lord, a way to respond about these matters. I'll just go ahead and write this down and I'll explain it. Don't be afraid. Number one, don't be afraid. We see this "don't be afraid" different times. Zechariah was troubled and the angel showed up. And fear fell upon him. He was, you know, could you imagine being in a room and suddenly a being from another realm is suddenly there? Now, we know that the fear came from this being from another realm, the spiritual realm, the unseen realm. He's unseen and suddenly he's seen. And the hairs on the back of your neck go up. This is one of them spooky graveyard type things where you... You want to just run and not fall down and get out of there and go home. It's an unnerving kind of a thing. How many of you had anybody show up in your life who wasn't from around this planet and speak to you? And so the first thing that usually comes out of the angelic realm's mouth is, don't be afraid. We see this same thing. He tries to get by it with... He almost tries to get right by this because he has a different experience with Mary. So he opens up and says, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." He's trying not to say, if I can get her not to be afraid. I don't want to say it first. I'm going to get something out. And she's still afraid, you know, because it doesn't matter how nice they are. They're just from another realm, and it's kind of overwhelms you, you know. And so it says she was greatly troubled at the saying. And what would be greatly troubling by saying, "Oh, favored one, the Lord is with you"? The messenger. Okay, what's all this about? You know, what are we doing here? So she was greatly troubled, and says, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And he goes on to explain that she will conceive and bear the Son, and the Holy Spirit will overshadow her. We see the same thing happening with the shepherds. This angel shows up, and it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were all filled with great fear. It just comes along with the encounter. Isn't that true? I remember having prayed for 2 or 3 months, "Lord, I want to see your glory. Lord, I want to see your glory. Lord, I want to see your glory." I was 17 or 18 years old. I'd just gotten saved. I was leading worship in a little Assemblies of God church in where my brother goes now. And there was a little place like this. There was a organ on one side of the room, piano on the other, had my guitar. I've been doing this a long time. I had been praying to see the Lord's glory, to see the Lord's glory, to see the Lord's glory, over and over and over. I put the guitar down. We just finished our worship time. And I was walking to step down the step. And the moment I stepped down the step, the Lord flashed in my... He like opened the heavens for like a split second. And something impacted me. And I went like this. And I was going to run out the room. The effect was I was afraid. The effect of an encounter with the glory of God was I was first afraid. I went, and people saw it. And I just walked to the... I almost ran completely out, but I caught myself and realized where I was. For a moment, I didn't know where I was. Because after praying for a couple of months of see your glory, the Lord says, "I'll give you a little snapshot. I don't think you can handle much more of that." And it was just like that. And this reaction on the inside of me. You know, before Jesus came, it says nobody had seen God, can see God and live. But because of Him coming, there is a day coming. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation, it reveals that Father will come down and He will be our God and we'll be His people. Everybody say, the Father is for you. Say, Jesus is with you and the Spirit is in you. Say, the Father is for you. Jesus is with you and the Holy Spirit's in you. Amen. Amen. And everything that they promote together causes you to get better and better and better. So he has to come along and say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And we live in fearful times. The first we learn from these passages, get this, I've got this in your notes, that God does not want you to be afraid in relating to Him and His good news for you. God does not want you to be afraid. He doesn't want you fearful in relating to Him. Isn't that good news? If you're afraid, it's not God's intention. He wants you to receive His good promise. We'll get this later, but go ahead. And if you've got somebody around you can just turn to and say, you have a destiny. You have a destiny to fulfill. So I want to ask you the question. What is the Lord telling you to fear not this season? Is there something that comes around your thoughts that tempts you to be fearful? What is it this season that the Lord is saying, fear not? Don't you be afraid of that. Is there something that has come around your life and tried to steal the joy and the confidence and the faith of what Jesus wants you to do? Bring the fear not into that situation. Bring the I will not be afraid, because God has promised that He's going to show up for me and with me. Bring that into this season. In other words, how can you respond to the Lord? Don't be afraid. The Lord says, don't be afraid. I have good things for you. You're favored. I have good things for you. Don't be afraid. I don't want to just preach that. Fear not. What is going on in the world? Don't be afraid. What's going on in your life? Don't be afraid. Because the hell has come to work you over. And there's a reason why, but Jesus came to deal with that reason. Hebrews, I just have the scripture references written there, but Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, I want you to listen to this and then I'll explain it. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, that's you and me, He Himself, that's Jesus, likewise partook of the same things. He became the Word, become flesh. That, get this, that through death, His death, that through death, He might destroy the one who has the power of death. And it says right here, that is the devil. And get this, deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Where's your fears come from? Ultimately, they come from the fear of death and the power of the devil to put fear on you, because you don't know how things are going to work out when you pass away from here. But the Lord has broken the power of death and given us life at that place. And we no longer die, we just pass over. Oh, your body, oh, yeah, that's going to be, that's not the real you. That's just your earth suit. And this eternal hope, this blessed hope that we have, is none like anybody, nobody but Jesus can give this to you. Amen. And once the fear of death is gone, they all look like a bunch of little minions from that movie. They all get, fears get smaller. Hey, you know what? When the Lord gives you a promise, it seems to always be on the other side of some sort of fear, doesn't it? Elbow somebody, tell them, I'm not being afraid. I'm not being afraid. I'm not giving to it. Fear not. Say it. Just say it. Fear not. Fear not, body. Fear not, soul. Fear not, soul. Don't be afraid. And when it comes to the world, I don't know if you can put this scripture up there, but if you can, Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Just listen to me, guys. This is the one. If you have thoughts creeping... Did I put it on there, the whole thing? No, just the reference. I should have put this on the back. I wish I'd have thought of that. I want to read a scripture to you. If fear is creeping up in your thoughts, and if fear is what's happened because of the fears that are in the world, there's the power of fear in the world. Let me go ahead and read a scripture of great comfort to you. Ready? Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Now, this prophetically speaks to the future glory of Israel, but it speaks to the church. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Next verse. Now, guys, listen to this. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. That's what's going on in the culture and in the world. The darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. And that's going on. That's going on. But look at the next part. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory shall be seen upon you. That's why, don't be afraid. It's amazing, but these two things are coming together. Now, when I go home and I turn on my light, the darkness is gone. And when you come into a situation, the darkness flees because you have the Lord, the light of the world, and He called you the light of the world. Is that right? So walk with the Lord, which would, by the way, that gets us to number two. You ready for number two? Do you want to just back up and preach all that number one all over again? Tell somebody next to you, don't be afraid. Even if there's deep darkness in the people in the world, rise up, the light is in you. I love that verse. Just take time. I'm going to read it out of this other verse. Arise and shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you and His glory will be seen upon you. Mm. Oh, come on now. The glory will rise upon you. It will be seen upon you. I just want to stay right there. Where you go, the glory goes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number two. Live to please the Lord. Live to please the Lord. Live to please the Lord. Praise is good, and praise is we talked about that last week. In the first order of things, last week we talked about worship, share, and imitate. Responding to the Lord. Worship the Lord, share Him, and imitate Him. This week, we're talking about don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And live to please the Lord. Live to please the Lord. And here's the verse. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. Peace among those with whom He is pleased. The King James Version says, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And that's what we're used to hearing. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the actual language of the verse says something different. It doesn't say goodwill's going to happen to everybody. It's saying on earth, peace to him who the Lord is pleased with. God can send all the peace He wants to send you your way. But if you're living contrary to Him, it won't stay. But if your ways are pleasing the Lord, His peace will envelop your life. Is there strife? Do you know strife? It's an amazing word, the word peace, irene, in the Greek language. It simply means no strife. Live strife-free. It's what's in you when strife is all gone. God didn't make you to be full of strife. We have news channels that create strife. It'll steal your peace because they make money promoting the news. Can I suggest you lighten your appetite? With news, because it just builds an adrenal addiction and peace is gone. And I know from personal experience, absorbing a lot of the world's news evaporates the peace of God. So how do you maintain the peace of God? Live to please the Lord. What does that mean? Everybody here is called to walk with the Lord. But to know the Lord intimately, that's another level, isn't it? And if you have certain habits where you just plop down and absorb a lot of the world's chatter, you'll get up and you'll say, I wonder what, I mean, I feel okay, but what happened to the peace? The world system is not here to give you peace. That comes from the Lord. I love that word. Glory to God in the highest. You know, in excelsis Deo, just in Latin means glory to God in the highest. It's the Latin word for that. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to those with whom the Lord is pleased. This is an amazing thought to wrap your head around. It's amazing. Do you want to live a life where the peace of God inhabits your days? Live a life that pleases the Lord. Seek out what pleases the Lord. Be a person who values the things that God wants us to value. Are you there? I have a little note there. Know this, what God is doing in you reaches far beyond you. Your choices influence other people. Your lifestyle impacts and influences other people. Know this, what God is doing in you reaches far beyond you. Isn't that good? Before I was saved, I was churched. I went to church as a little Methodist boy, had a little youth group and stuff, and my mother had a faith. And she would go and express faith during the Christmas season. And we would get in the back of a truck, and I'd have my guitar, and we'd go get all the kids. Anybody in the youth group? We'd all get in there. And we'd drive down some country road in North Carolina, and they called them shut-ins. They were senior citizens who could no longer get out and about and go out and go to a church service to hear Christmas carols. So my mother said, well, why don't we go give them some Christmas? So we'd all pile out of the back of the truck. And we'd go into these little homes where there would be a fireplace roaring. And it would be so hot in there. Little frail, older people would make sure it was really warm and toasty. So you come from freezing into sweltering. And I remember one time we were all there and I had on more clothes than normal. I had on stuff under my stuff and stuff on top of my stuff. I looked stuffed. And I had to pull out the guitar and we would sing, you know, whatever. We just sang the hymns, sang the carols, and oh, little town of Bethlehem. We do whatever, and singing. They're just beaming and seeing these older folks just beaming and smiling and stuff. All the while, the sweat is running down my back and down my legs, and I swore the dye was running out of my socks. It was so hot. And then we go outside and get in the truck and freeze to death and try to get to the next shut-in house to warm up. But before I knew the Lord, I saw love expressed because my mother lived to please the Lord. And before I knew the Lord, I saw the love of God. I didn't realize it at the time. But I felt something in those moments. It was the presence of God. I didn't have the language to articulate that. I didn't know about that. But when we went in, Jesus went in. And we sang of Him. Okay. Live what pleases the Lord. Number three, we're going to finish up here. Number three, treasure your salvation story. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I believe that Luke just gave his source. I believe Luke just spilled out his source. She had memorized everything that happened. She knew Zacharias' story. She knew Elizabeth. She knew the shepherd's story. She had it all down. And when Luke sat down, Theophilus, I sat down with one of the ones that was from the beginning. How much more beginning can you get than the Gabriel showing up to talk to Mary? Just as there is a Christmas story, there is a your story. I'll say this real quick. The devil is seeking to steal your destiny in Christ. Therefore, treasure your salvation story. Know that the Lord has a destiny for you to fulfill, and even though your beginnings be small, your latter end will greatly increase. It doesn't matter if you've gotten off track. I want to just call you to treasure His dealings in your heart. It's the most wonderful thing to sit down in a group of people and say, how did you come to the Lord? And hear the story. And it wasn't anything like the way God brought you. But it was completely different than the way He brought you. But it was crafted just for them. And you could say, Yet somehow I feel like in this we're supposed to embrace our narrative. Mary embraced the narrative of Christ coming into her life. She knew it well. Somehow I feel like the Lord said, treasure your story. Paul got up in front. I think he shared his testimony 3 or 4 times in the book of Acts. He treasured his story, his salvation story. The moment he came to Jesus, he knew it well. This Christmas, can we talk about how we came to know him? The greatest gift of all was when you opened your heart and you found that there was a God who stepped out of one realm into another and spoken to you and said, you're mine. However he does it for you. There were people around. There were things that happened. There's nothing greater. We're going to go just a little longer. I'm sorry, guys. We're going to have to beg forgiveness for the little kids. It's all right. They're probably down there partying away. Ron's going, let's go ahead and have those coming to serve communion prepare, and I'll finish the rest as we're moving into our time of communion. There's nothing quite like the power that's been given to us through the poets and through the songwriters. And some of the best theology you can lay hold of is in the Christmas carols. The level of inspiration is phenomenal. Let's go ahead and pass out the bread, and everybody hold it till we're all served. And we'll get to this. Just be so kind here. Hang on with me. One of them wrote these words. Actually, it was a group of 4 of them got together. I don't know, their names are really hard to pronounce, but they put together these words. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night. Oh, night divine. Led by the light of faith, serenely beaming, while glowing hearts by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star, sweetly gleaming, here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in a lowly manger. In all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need. To our weakness, he is no stranger. Behold your King. Behold him lowly bend. Behold your King before him lowly bend. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel, peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Oh, night divine. Oh, night. Oh, night divine. Would you lift the bread? We lit the Bethlehem candle, and Bethlehem means house of bread. And God says, I brought the bread of life to you. And he was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And Bethlehem is the city of David. And how can a man be after God's own heart if he messed up so much? Can I tell you why? David had a heart after God because he understood how to get restored to God. And that's what communion is about. The bread of life is about restoring life that's been broken, restoring life that's been off track, restoring life that's all not working and making it work again. And we come today, let's just pray, we come today, Lord, acknowledging You are the bread of life, born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And as we partake today, we release our faith and our rejoicing in You to thank You, Lord, for everything broken in our life, be healed, restored, mended, put back together again, that we be whole for the glory of God, that we live for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, let's pray, partake together. Let's go ahead and receive the cup. Hold it until all are served. I want you to just to hold one key there. A star is up there twinkling in the sky. This is another poet I know. It's winking at the Savior in the manger where He lies. He's the glory of all heaven. What a grand surprise. You can see His Father's likeness in His eyes. All seeking hearts will see His shining star. If you are a wise man, you'll travel very far to kneel before the Savior with the treasures of your heart and receive eternal life and a new start. And now all creation sings our Savior's praise. For from common folks to angels, we all marvel at His ways. God became a baby to redeem us from our sin and gather us as children unto Him. Glory to God in the highest. Hear the angels sing. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let us worship Him. When it says a Savior is born, you look up the word Savior and it says deliverer and preserver. A Savior delivers you from your sins and preserves you in good condition so you don't return. Born unto you in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Anybody thankful for sins forgiven? For the burden lifted, for condemnation broken, for shame overthrown, for the healing, for helping you forgive when the root of bitterness was so great and you just were writhing under the pain of it. And the Lord says, I'll flow my forgiveness in you, through you, and that root will come out and you no longer have to bow to the pain that ruled you because the blood has broken its power. Hallelujah, Lord. So I pray, Lord, over this Christmas, we're not going to physically fling it, but in the spirit realm, we fling the blood over Christmas. We fling the blood over all relationships. We fling the blood. We just plead the power of the blood and the environments around us, over at work, over the people there. We just pray the salvation of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We fling the blood into the community. We fling it. We ask You to splash it everywhere, Lord, that chains would break, that people would come out of bondage of darkness. In Jesus' name, and as we lift this cup, we thank You for our forgiveness and pray You would empower us to always forgive. Guys, the secret weapon of the kingdom of God is doing good when evil is done to you. That's the most amazing power, and it all comes in this cup. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and partake. Would you stand with me? Let's just lift our heads to the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we all rejoice before the Lord saying amen to Him. Amen.